Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving podcast. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, Executive Director of Southern Caregiver Resource Center, or SCRC for short, and I'm here with my co-host, Marta Rañon, Director of Government Community Affairs. Hi, Marta.
Hi, Roberto.
And we also have a special guest today, Dr. Jerry Peavy. She's the Leader Outreach Recruitment Education Corps at the Shiley Marcos Alzheimer's Disease Research Center in the Department of Neurosciences at UCSD. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
So the purpose of Let's Talk Caregiving podcast is to open a forum for dialogue on caregiver issues and connect families to the support services at SCRC and other community resources. But before I begin, I want to thank our sponsors for this event, the Arthur N. Root Foundation, for their support of this podcast. Today's topic is, of course, caregiving. But specifically, we're going to talk a little bit about Latino caregiving and why this topic is important, especially here in San Diego County. I don't know if our audience is very familiar with the topic of Latino and caregiving, but census shows that over one-third of our county's population currently is Latino. And by 2050, Latinos will be the majority of our population in San Diego County. Second would be white Caucasian community, followed by Asian Pacific Islanders and African Americans. Also, by 2050, there will be over 4 million San Diegans in the county, and 1.3 million, or one-third, will be over the age of 55, which is really significant for our aging population in the county. But one of the things that is also very important to note is that not only is our population growing older, but it's getting very diverse. And we're already a diverse community. Now we're going to have a diverse older population with conditions, chronic conditions, disabling conditions, Alzheimer's related disorders that are going to be more prevalent as time passes. And especially some populations like the Latino African American community, where there's comorbid conditions like heart disease, vascular dementia, stroke, diabetes, obesity, all these types of conditions that combined increase the chances for Alzheimer's disease and related disorders or dementias. So this has major implications for a lot of organizations or agencies who are service providers here in this county, especially for conditions like Alzheimer's disease and related disorders, because that's one of the conditions as a caregiver that really increases your risk for developing physical and mental health problems as it relates to your responsibilities as a caregiver. So I'm really happy today that we have Dr. Peavy from the Shiley Marcos, can I say ADRC?
Yes.
Yes, from the Shiley Marcos ADRC, and Marta, who's also not only our Director of Government and Community Affairs and does all our educational programs, but is herself Latina, along with myself, who is Latino. And we've all had some experience, personal experience, as caregivers as well, and as program directors and managers in creating special programs for this population. So what are agencies to do? I know at Southern Caregiver Resource Center, we've taken a lot of steps to making sure that we're able to reach the Latino population, as well as when they reach back to us, have the staffing available to respond, to provide the service, to provide our core services so that families can get the help that they need. And we've also even taken specific steps to adapt with researchers some programming, especially some evidence-based programming, like our Reach to Caregivers program, or also known as CALMA in Spanish, for families to be able to really improve their skill sets and their ability to take care of not only the family member that they live with, but for themselves for self-care. Marta, do you want to elaborate a little bit on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that you mentioned the Reach to Caregivers program, which is our GALMA program, evidence-based program here at SCRC, that really started with a focus on the Latino community. It's now expanded to the rest of the county, and the classes are offered in English as well. But it's evidence-based, but it's also culturally appropriate, which is really exciting for me as a former caregiver to someone who had dementia, who was Latina, because it takes on a different, it has different characteristics, and it's really a different approach. What I find as I am out in the community is there is also this sense of you need to trust. Mm-hmm. And communities, especially communities that are minorities, communities of color, to come in as service providers where there isn't that established trust doesn't bode well for a successful program. So it's great that our program does take that into consideration. I know when I was a caregiver, it was very important for me, for my care receiver, my great aunt in this case, to feel comfortable, to be among people that could understand and communicate. Even though she had dementia, she still could communicate. But that was very important. And even certain things that were of importance to her on a personal level. You know, merienda, having coffee at a certain time with, you know, sweet bread that was, you know, Mexican sweet bread. And that was something that for her was familiar. And that made me feel very important when I would drop her off at these adult day healthcare centers to have that and offer that.
And you know, everybody, as far as a caregiver, can benefit from the services. The actual needs of families are pretty much similar across the spectrum of different types of diseases. Some need a little more emotional support. A lot of families need respite, like the respite program that we offer here at SCRC. But as a caregiver, Dr. Peavy, I believe you were a caregiver, correct? Before, yes?
I was for my father.
Yeah. And the ability to access services was extremely important.
Yes.
Yes.
And one of the problems, which I think a lot of people face, was that he was far away from where I lived. And I've seen a lot more literature lately about ways that people can deal with that. This was quite a while ago, and it was difficult because I just didn't get to see him enough. And then when he started to have more problems, it was even more difficult. So, yes, I can understand that situation and how people can get help with that now.
Yeah, and for us at SCRC, it's really important that families understand that they can access the services. So knowing that our Latino population is the largest minority population in the county and will, in a few years, become the majority, also knowing that there's greater risk for developing certain types of conditions or diseases, disabling diseases, and that because of that, there's a greater risk for the family caregiver to develop depression, clinical depression, caregiver burden, health problems. It's extremely important for us to have the right types of programs and the right outreach out in the community so that families feel comfortable that somebody is not only talking their language, and I put my quotations up because it's not just about translation, but being very culturally appropriate, as Martha was saying.
And it's so true. With the REACH program, we have a group of outreach workers who we call promotoras, and they're out in the community speaking directly with potential participants, caregivers, really. And they speak to them in their language, but also, like Roberto was saying, knowing, coming from that culture, understanding perhaps what their needs might be. It's really imperative for an organization to be able to do that, but also for the caregiver to know that they don't have to do this alone, that they can reach out for help. And I think that's where it gets kind of to the root of the problem, that sometimes culturally it's difficult to say, well, I'm going to ask for help when I am expected to be the one to take care of this person. And what are they going to say about me? Am I going to be judged? Am I doing it right? I don't know. I will figure it out, I guess, as I go along. But you don't have to do it alone, and that's the beauty of programs like ours that are there to offer the assistance.
Dr. Peavy?
I was just reading a study about social isolation, and I think that the caregivers are more prone to that now because they have so many things to do and so many things to think about, and social isolation is a big stress in and of itself. And the research shows that caregivers are much more likely to get dementia themselves eventually because of the chronic stress that they go through as caregivers.
That's so interesting, and there's more and more attention being given now to caregiving and the role of the caregiver, whereas before it was everybody's just focusing on the person with the illness. And I know that over at the Shiley Marcos ADRC, you have special research programs that have been developed for the Latino community, and I wanted you to share with us some of those programs, but also why. Why did the ADRC go out of their way to develop programs specifically for the Latino community?
Well, in general, you know, it's important for the whole country to develop these programs with different populations, different diverse populations. We are funded by the National Institute on Health and National Institute on Aging. And one of our mandates is to study diverse populations. We also feel like it's a privilege to be able to invite people from other ethnic backgrounds to participate in research and to learn about some of the resources that they might get. Another reason is that our geographical location is pretty important because we are so close to Mexico, and so we feel like in some ways we are obligated to really focus on that particular population compared to some other places that wouldn't have access to it.
Right. So I know that when doing research, and it's basically the similar in the sense of evidence-based programming, you develop an intervention, you test it, you use validated instruments like the depression scales and the burden scales and other types of instruments that you use, and you test them over time to make sure that they're effective within populations. So that I'm assuming I know has been done with the ADRC, and can you explain, have you seen any differences in populations, any outcomes that are different among the Latino population compared to Caucasian or other populations when they participate in some of your studies?
We are just really beginning to emphasize that kind of study. Mm-hmm. I, with colleagues, have a grant from the state of California looking at caregivers, and it's not actually an intervention study, although there may be some of that involved just by getting together with people and talking with them. But it focuses more on cognition and how that changes. The thing about it's a study of chronic stress, which is the area of neuroscience that I'm most interested in, the study was designed because we feel like chronic stress affects certain parts of the brain and therefore affects cognition such as memory. Mm-hmm. So we also partner with the ADCS, which is the Alzheimer's Disease Clinical Trials Group. And so we can offer those kinds of studies to people that are probably in early stages, although it varies, but to see if either a pharmaceutical or a non-pharmaceutical kind of intervention makes a difference.
Can I ask you, and this is just for my personal interest, is I've heard from different researchers and a couple of neurologists that there seems to be a link between diabetes and Alzheimer's or other dementias. Is that accurate?
I would say that has been studied quite a bit and is accurate. I was just looking at the way that chronic stress might affect the development of Alzheimer's disease. And diabetes is one of those things that the chronic stress could make the diabetes worse or make a person develop some kind of vascular problem. And then that can interact with other things for the person to develop Alzheimer's disease. So there are a lot of connections now. We don't understand them as well as we will, but it's very interesting.
Yes. Dr. Peavy, I'm very interested in what you said right now about your study that has to do with chronic stress, because a lot of caregivers who we serve end up coming to us because they're at their wit's end. They're at the point where they're the most stressed, and it's a dire situation, and they need help. And my curiosity is, how do you encourage people to seek ways to decrease some of that stress when we see out in the community it's very difficult, especially in the Latino community, mm-hmm. to ask for help?
That's something that we are really working on, because we've had trouble getting members of the Latino population into our studies. And I think that one of the main reasons is that they don't necessarily know us. They feel that we might not understand a lot about their lives. And so I think the key is to get people that they trust. And that could be a Latino person. It could be a nurse. The nursing profession is very highly trusted. But that's the kind of thing that I think that we need to focus on.
Well, and I think you both bring up a very good point as far as the trust. Martha, you were talking about the people in the community being trusting. You're talking about trust as well, Dr. Peavy. And I know that is a major building block for developing programs that work out in the community, especially when you're targeting minority populations. For example, in the Latino community, we've partnered for years with San Isidro Health. They used to be San Isidro Health Center. They just changed their name to San Isidro Health. But we've partnered for years with them so that we can have a location and a presence there, and families can see us as part of them. And they kind of help serve as the broker to a lot of families coming into our programming, especially the Reach to Caregivers for South Bay. We've also partnered with North County Health Services with the same goal as having a location there and having their clients access our services by us having a presence there. And we've had other locations, Norman Park Senior Center, which is not necessarily a Latino organization, but there's a lot of seniors in the South Bay. There's a lot of Latino seniors. And just having a place where our staff can be and then do outreach from those areas. You do very similar work like that. Don't you partner with some of these clinics as well?
Yes, we do. For one thing, we have hired a lot of bilingual staff,
English,
Spanish staff.
Very important, yes.
Yes, and so at this point, we can send some of them out to try to make connections. The Glenner Center is mm-hmm. one of those, and they have a location in Chula Vista, and they offer free memory screening.
Yes.
So on the last Friday of each month, we send some of our staff out who are bilingual, and they give them a few sort of brief screening tests, and then they can give them some feedback about whether they might want to follow through on it, whether they seem perfectly normal, so they should not worry too much at this point, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I know that Dr. Jairo Romero, who's also faculty there at UCSD, is he still doing memory screenings with San Isidro Health Center and La Maestra Community Health Centers?
Recently he was. I'm not sure exactly where that stands at this point.
Right. But that's important, because instead of having to go to the university, the clinical setting in La Jolla, they were there in the community and setting up shop in the community, and that's the key to what we're talking about, is some of those best practices of where you develop these services and who do you partner with.
Yes. And I think that's one of the reasons why SCRC has been so successful with these programs and continue to grow in the rest of the county, because we have learned from those best practices.
Absolutely. I think one of my favorite examples is years ago I started a Spanish caregiver support group. And at first, it was very poorly attended. As time started passing, word of mouth started bringing in more family caregivers to the support group. Well, one of the challenges that occurred with the support group was that the family member didn't want, the caregiver didn't want to leave their loved one at home by themselves, and yet they weren't in a position to accept help yet. So they would bring them to the support group, which changes the whole dynamic of a support group, because now you have the individual that you're talking about, or frustrated with or needing help for, sitting there and understanding some of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So we developed a separate, in the same building with an accordion wall, we developed an art program for those individuals with dementia or Alzheimer's, while the caregivers met in the other room, which was accessible through the accordion wall, so that there was that security and trust, and both groups, and it was just a fantastic group. So those are just that I just love that because it was so beneficial, and how things were adapted to meet the needs of the community. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank Martha and Dr. Peavy for another stimulating discussion about caregiving. And I want to remind our audiences that we're here for you, providing you with support if you're caring for a loved one with disabling chronic conditions. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. And remember,
SCRC is here to care for those who care for others.
Thank you, everybody.